Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yeah, Spider-Man and freezing full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Take it down.
Girl, I must warn you. I sense something strange in my mind.
After months of attacks from Governor Ron DeSantis, the president of UWF resigns.
You could not find a better leader than Dr. Martha Saunders.
A former trustee shares her concerns with the direction of UWF in the future. University of West Florida's president, Dr. Martha Saunders, has resigned. In her letter of resignation, Saunders said it was not an easy choice. She says she believes this is the right time for her and the university for her to step down. Saunders has been president since 2017. She says she'll work closely with the UWF Board of Trustees and campus leadership to ensure a smooth transition until the next president is named.
Yeah, big news yesterday, unexpected news. I frankly thought that Martha Saunders would fight more, longer, that this would, you know, this clearly an effort to get rid of her. As I said many times yesterday, the meeting at the Board of Trustees from last week where you had several of the new trustees, including Zach Smith, who has turned out to be apparently Governor DeSantis's lapdog. He is the PSC board appointee and now has double duty as a UWF board appointee. Apparently he is an adjunct at UWF or has adjuncted at UWF. But, you know, he got in there and in one meeting, he and also to some degree Adam Kissel, who, you know, again, I have defended many times and I still, even now, even despite this, I think is a good addition to the board. I have no such particular belief about Zach Smith, but I do believe that Adam Kissel is a good addition to the board. And, you know, I think that he is asking fair questions that need good answers. But this was an attack on her. It led to a bunch of drama in the meeting last week when, you know, Alonzi Scott, who you heard, you know, at the top of the hour there, David, mentioning that, you know, he felt like the need to stand up and defend Martha Saunders and criticize particularly Zach Smith for his ambush of her. And the reason I call it that is because he started in by asking questions about this drag show that was held on campus 6 years ago, about some speech by Ibrahim X. Kendi that was a presentation, apparently, and also by a Marxist speaker who was on campus, none of which in and of itself tells you enough of the story for me to feel informed. You know, I want to know, you can't tell what's going on at a university by one event or one incident or one speaker. What you want to know is, okay, what was the slate of speakers for that year? What was the slate of events for that year? How were the events handled? How were the speakers handled? I remember when I was at University of Illinois, in fact, it's one of the most memorable things that I gained from my undergraduate particularly. I was there undergraduate and graduate. I remember when the movie Do the Right Thing came out with Spike Lee. And I remember that what they did is we all went and watched the movie at a university lecture hall. Like, they projected it up on the screen and we watched it, not at a theater, but watched it. And I mean, this is not required or anything, but this is just, you know, voluntary exercise. And then when we got done, they had a moderated discussion between all the students about the events of the movie, the social commentary, the elements of race. Yeah, and you had white students, black students, all kinds of students. It was a fairly tense and intense conversation afterwards. It was fabulous as an educational experience. Now, I can see how some right-wing anti-DEI crusader, you know, somebody with Zach Smith's kind of mindset would look at that and say, oh, the University of Illinois sponsored an event where they promoted a Spike Lee movie about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I can see that being a take. And I mean, if all you knew was that the University of Illinois had this movie night for students featuring a Spike Lee movie, and that's literally, if that's all you knew, and you came into a meeting and you claim you had been just randomly scrolling through 6 years of posts, I say bull, I say it was directed and led, and somebody told him, or maybe, I mean, I don't know how long he's been an adjunct. I don't know if this is some simmering grudge he's got against Martha Saunders. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe he's just purely ideological. Maybe somebody tipped him off on something like that. Again, I don't know. You have to speculate all these things because, you know, not enough is out in the open, right? Maybe he's been waiting for his chance to, you know, get him because of his perception that the culture at UWF is left of center. And I have said many times, it is left of center. But moderately so compared to most universities, you know, like really mildly so compared to most universities. But anyway, back to the point is I can see the take on that particular event being something along the lines of, well, how dare the university sponsor this event? Allow it at their facility, you know? But then go ask some students what they think, and we'd tell you, I mean, no, this was fantastic. Like, this was really useful and interesting. Now, do I think that the drag show was that? Probably not. Do I think that the Ibram X. Kendi presentation or the, I just forget her name, the Marxist that they hid in, you know, do I think that was of that same sort? I don't know. But that's why you ask a question and that's why you wait for an answer and that's why you particularly, instead of bringing it up in a board of trustee meetings like you're conducting some prosecution, you know, are you now or have you ever been associated with anything DEI at the university? Dr. Saunders, you know, like that kind of line of questioning, very McCarthyist kind of questioning. It's not the way you do things. If you believe in a society, a civilization of, honestly, respect, consideration, openness, and a willingness to see that there are multiple perspectives that should be represented at the university, like that's the project of the university. Now, there is a generalized backdrop. That's true, that university education tends to skew left, particularly in social science disciplines. I say this as a guy with a master's degree in philosophy, you know, as a guy who got let go from teaching opportunities because I was too conservative. I say this. It's true. But that doesn't mean that the right way to solve these problems is to get in there and attack somebody who has done so much good work for the university and create a hostile work environment where you've made it clear that your goal is to get rid of her. So when Martha, you know, the way you do this is you talk to her and find out, you know, hey, what was going on here? Can we work with you on this? Here's where we can improve. That's the way you do this. Because losing Martha Saunders is the big loss for the university. She's been incredibly effective in her, 8 years, longest serving university, state university system president. And I honestly don't know anybody. I can't name you a person who doesn't like Martha Saunders, respect her, admire her. You know, maybe there are. I just never have met them. I'm sure online there's somebody. You know, I was actually stunned. The survey that WEAR had, do you think this is good or bad for the university? A third of people said this is good. But then I remember that people thought that the new bridge wasn't going to be adequate because they thought there was only going to be the one span. You know, like, or that there's a forum that I'm in, I won't name it, that, you know, people are upset that the city of Pensacola hasn't acted quickly enough to rebuild the fishing bridge that the county owns. that is going to be rebuilt, actually, this year, probably, at least started this year, but that has been waiting on federal FEMA funds this whole time. And it just, like, people know nothing. They know nothing. I'm going to probably regret saying it this way, but people are idiots. I mean, they are genuine, certified idiots. And yet have no reluctance to give their opinion. It's the great American tradition. You're entitled to your opinion. And you are. But that comes with some obligations to, you know things. And listen, they absolutely have a right to their opinion, but a third of people think this is good? Who? Honestly, who? Show me. Andrew, you're just proving that you're a liberal again. Oh, okay, well, you know, you helped me figure out what category you're in. You know, like, there's a comment on our social media that says that. I'm like, wow. Okay. I mean, okay. You know, some people know so little and they're so proud of it. And that's fine. I mean, it's not great. It's not good for a society. It's not good for a society where these are the people making decisions about who gets to make decisions, right? But still, there we are. So, Lonzie Scott criticizes Zach Smith in the meeting last week for ambushing Martha Saunders, which is absolutely what he was doing. There's no question that there was an ambush. The only question is, was it coordinated by the governor or somebody else? Was there any coordination at all? And by the way, it's not a violation of Sunshine Law. Even if the governor had called Adam Kissel and called Zach Smith and told them, you know, hey, do this, or I'd like you to do this, that's not a violation of Sunshine. The governor can talk to them. That's fine. They just can't talk to each other, and he can't be an intermediary between them. Anyway, so this was the interchange with Lonzie Scott and Zach Smith after Zach Smith asked the questions about the Marxist and the racist and the, you know, okay.
Matthews, I'm in agreement with Dr. James, and so I'm going to reserve my comments because, you know, some of the new trustees have made some comments here that I find quite offensive. And I don't think we're heading in a very productive way in any sense. I see one trustee ambush our president. I'm not very happy about that, Trustee Jack Smith, at all, because that's essentially what I see you doing. I've read your book, Rogue Prosecutors, and how radical stories lawyers are destroying American communities. And I can tell you, you're about as radical as I've seen in any place I've ever been. So if you're going to continue to try to intimidate the president or anyone else on this board, that's not going to go well.
Yeah, unfortunately, he won. I mean, if you're Zach Smith, you think you won. You got rid of Martha Saunders, right? And then this was so disingenuous.
I appreciate the comments from everyone today. Certainly, my intention is not to ambush Dr. Saunders or anyone else. And
I mean, come on. That was 100% your intention. You came at this like you were a prosecutor. You came at this with a list of things that you said were your concerns, and you laid it out there like some inquisition. Everybody who watched this meeting knows exactly what was going on. Don't hide and then pretend it wasn't an ambush. I mean, I would have respected him more if he had said, yeah, I think Martha Saunders is bad for the university. I think Martha Saunders is a dangerous leader. I think that she has created and or allowed the creation of a culture of leftism on this campus, and we need to fix it. And I don't have confidence that we can fix it. I mean, honestly, I would have... You always have to respect people who are straightforward. I would have respected him if he'd have said that. I mean, I would have criticized him for that. But, you know, I've said, like, sort of somewhat similar thing, not about Martha, but about the culture. And I do think the culture at UWF could use some improving. But you work within that system because these people are so clearly capable of leading the university based on all the metrics, which, again, these folks praised UWF to the Senate when they were seeking confirmation, and then they turned around and scorched UWF when they had the permission to do so once they'd been appointed. Wow, that's some shady stuff. So for him to pretend like this wasn't an ambush...
I would say I think we can disagree and do it respectfully, and that's certainly my goal here today. But I think it is important to ask some hard questions sometimes, some uncomfortable questions. And I'm perfectly happy, and I would appreciate hearing Dr. Saunders' reasoning or response to why some of these programmings were allowed to go forward. And
great. Why did you ask her in public in front of all the Board of Trustees when she clearly didn't know about any of the particular cases you were talking about? This is the kind of thing specifically that you go in private and talk to. Send them an email. Send them make a phone call. Sit down for an appointment. Ask for more information instead of coming in front of everybody and presenting it that way. Again, like a litigator, like a prosecutor, like some, you know, grandmaster for the Inquisition, which is certainly what it felt like to me. 437-1620, 437-1620. So what's the takeaway from all of this? Well, I mean, you know, I have a lot of thoughts on this subject, of course. I was very angry yesterday. I was very, very angry. Angry because I feel like this governor, who I have loved dearly and admired, is now winning with his purge, with his hostile takeover of a university that was the least likely candidate for it, of a university that I believe in enough to send my children to, right? And I look, aside from the occasional wingnut on social media, I don't think there's anybody who thinks I'm a liberal. And I send two boys there, and I have another one that's likely to go there because I believe in this school. I think the school's great. I mean, I genuinely think the school is great. And I did not think that when we moved here. I thought it was basically like a glorified community college. But I think UWF does fantastic work. So it frustrates me to see this governor set out to fix something that's not broken, to do it through these mechanisms, these really illegitimate mechanisms, even though he does have the authority to do it, okay, and to win yesterday with this resignation. I feel horrible for Martha Saunders. I feel just anger, honestly. Like, I want Zach Smith off these boards. In case I'm not clear, he should not be on these boards. That would be my... Now, can he be removed? By the governor. You know? Who should they confirm next? Be careful. I think Don Gates has seen something now that he didn't have evidence of. And by the way, he sent a very kind note about Martha Saunders yesterday. So what happens now? Well, I mean, it's very obvious to most of us that the intention of the governor is, you know, to put Manny Diaz in as the president. And I will say this, I like Manny Diaz. I think Manny Diaz is a good guy. And he represents a viewpoint that I believe in, and maybe this winds up being good for the university. It may. But even with a good outcome, that doesn't justify this bad behavior. And so shame on you, the people who participated in this, and anybody else who we don't know about who coordinated it. And you just don't understand UWF's place in this community. 526 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you've thought about having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there is a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 large bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool has a new 4,000 BTU gas heater. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a jacuzzi tub. There is a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Breeze. As a rideshare driver, I love keeping my car smelling fresh and clean. So when I'm driving, I only trust Febreze Carvan Clips, featuring 3 distinct intensity settings, because it's that little touch that sets me apart. I can turn the intensity down for subtle freshness, or I can turn it up for when I want lots of scent. So whether it's set to low, medium, or high, with Febreze Car, I know my car's going to smell amazing. Mm-hmm. Which keeps my driver rating right where it belongs. Picking up! Oscar!
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Beetlejuice.
It's showtime.
Were you worried something was going to happen?
Candyman,
no! David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Democrat senator making claims of corruption following Qatar's $400 million airplane gift to President Trump. Connecticut's Chris Murphy says that it shows that White House corruption is growing. He believes that after Trump leaves the White House, the jet will transfer to his presidential library, meaning he gets to keep it.
David, it's not a gift to President Trump. It's a gift to the Department of Defense. It's completely different. And the fact that it's going to go to his library after he's not in office anymore means it's totally fine. There's nothing to see here.
Nothing at all to see here.
Chris Foster. President Trump is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, meeting with business and military leaders and members of the royal family, including the Crown Prince, who's the country's leader as prime minister.
President Trump meeting dignitaries alongside Mohammed bin Salman. The Crown Prince is not only alongside President Trump, he greeted him right off Air Force One. This is an important relationship. If the United States isn't here, officials say the Chinese will be here.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. A plan to cut Medicaid spending is part of a bill being taken up by a House committee today.
The Congressional Budget Office estimates the proposed recommendations would reduce deficits by more than $880 billion over a 10-year period. While the estimate is good news for Republicans trying to rein in government spending, Democrats argue some of the changes would lead to millions losing insurance.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. This is a portion of the so-called One Big Beautiful Bill to advance President Trump's agenda. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. It is 65 degrees, clear skies this morning in Pensacola. A Crestview man is dead after crashing into a tree in Okaloosa County yesterday. That happened about 12:30 yesterday afternoon. FHP says the man was driving his pickup truck on Garden City Parkway when he lost control going around a curve and hit a tree. That crash is still under investigation. Florida is leading in immigration enforcement and ready to do more. That from Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. He says his office has submitted a plan to the federal government to contribute new detention facilities and expand apprehension efforts in the state. DeSantis also is proposing deputizing Florida National Guard Judge Advocate Generals as immigration judges. He said that would expedite immigration processing. Well, UWF President Dr. Martha Saunders resigning from her position yesterday. This news coming in an email sent by her office follows a contentious Board of Trustees committee meeting where several UWF trustees board members questioned her regarding DEI practices at the university throughout her tenure.
Is that something that's just supposed to be on the Board of Trustees to dig through everything for the past, 10, 20 years or whatever it might be to figure this out?
The short answer, Trustee Bailey, is yes, but it's not just one person. Everyone on my executive team is scrubbing. It's a lot to look at, and we have identified and made changes, as I mentioned in my earlier conversation, and we will continue to do that.
And Saunders faced questions from several trustees, including Zach Smith, Adam Kissel, and others regarding DEI policies and practices dating back years. Saunders has served as UWF president since 2017. In her announcement, she touted record enrollment, historic fundraising numbers, and the university receiving national recognition. Three people have died after a fire in Putnam County. That happened at a home in East Palatka. The sheriff's office there says a four-year-old and two adults died. Three others were taken to a trauma center for burn injuries. Those included an adult, a one-year-old, and a seven-year-old. A firefighter was also taken to the hospital with minor injuries. A man's been taken in for a murder that rocked Mobile last Christmas. Gregory Vanesse Jowers was arrested in West Mobile for the murder of John Fabian. Fabian was found unresponsive by deputies before spending time on life support and later passing away. Jowers had assaulted him, knocking him unconscious, leaving him in his eventually fatal condition. WKRG News reports that Jowers was found around Forest Oaks Drive and Colonial Oaks Drive. Well, some new statistics about Florida drivers. News Radio's Chris Bryan says getting behind the wheel can be dangerous.
New research out today confirms that Florida is one of the riskiest places to get behind the wheel, with cities like Miami and Fort Lauderdale topping that list for dangerous driving behaviors. According to the latest report, five of the top eight crash-prone metro areas are in Florida, with South Florida leading the pack. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's 5:35 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a small chance of an afternoon shower today, 10% overall. Most of us seeing mostly sunny, high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 83. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 74. Keeping beautiful sunny weather around on Thursday with a high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 65 degrees. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
Global stocks surged after the U.S. and China agreed to slash steep tariffs for at least 90 days. The 90-day tariff reduction sent the Dow up by more than 1,100 points, gaining just over 2.8%. The Nasdaq jumped 4.3%. The S&P 500 jumped 3.2%. As a Biden administration ban on so-called junk fees takes effect, Ticketmaster said it would start displaying the full price of a ticket as soon as consumers begin shopping. A new rule by the Federal Trade Commission requires ticket sellers, hotels, vacation rental platforms, and others to disclose processing fees, cleaning fees, and other charges up front. Samsung has launched the Galaxy S25 Edge, a device that is just 5.8 millimeters thin and weighs 163 grams, making it one of the thinnest smartphones on the market. The device starts at roughly $1,100 and goes on sale on May 30th. Samsung's announcement comes amid rumors of Apple launching a thinner version of its iPhone. Futures are slightly lower. That's your money now.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Good stuff. 539 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And you know, if I say that about country music, it's got to be at least okay. Joining us yesterday, we had a chance on Mondays, like we typically do every week, to talk to our congressman from Northwest Florida's District 1, Jimmy Patronis. Congressman, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you, man. I'm just trying to figure out, was that Mexican music you were just
Zach Brown Band, of all things.
Oh, my God.
You're killing me.
I must say, I couldn't quite tell. You know, that's the name of Taco Bell Day. I don't know. So anyway, good to be with you.
Oh, hey, you know what? We were talking briefly on the phone beforehand. I meant to ask you this. Are you on a speakerphone or earbuds or anything? Is there any way you could go on the handset? It'll be a lot clearer.
I got earbuds in. Are they bothering you?
It just sounds a lot better on the handset. Yeah, so I know. I always forget to ask, but that's and I thought of it, and then we got to talking about something else. So no worries. I know it takes a second.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Oh, my God, yes. So much better. Right, John? So much better? All right, good.
Let's talk about
I'm echoing. Yeah. It's my fault. I've ruined
it
now.
I got you. Okay. All right. No, note to self. No more headphones.
It's fine. So the vote in the House approving the Gulf of America. You know, I'm an opponent. I'm a critic. I'm not on board. But you took it one step further, which is you made an offer to the president, right?
Well, here's my deal. Look, if we're going to pass legislation like this, which we were going to pass it, then I'm going to go ahead and make the most out of it that I can. I mean, so I've already had a dialogue with the White House. They love the idea of doing a bill signing down here on you know, somewhere along the Gulf Coast. Now, will they do it or not? I don't know. But my attitude is you elected me to make the most that I can representing this part of the state. So I'm going to take every opportunity that I've got to be able to showcase Northwest Florida to Washington, D.C. I'm going to do everything possible to display what we have in our military community, our veterans community, our tourism community. And you know what? I'm sorry. When the president shows up anywhere, there are hundreds of cameras that follow him. So this is part of me. I can't get the restaurant out of me. I'm constantly promoting. I'm constantly trying to figure out how to make the customer happy and take care of the customer, and this is exactly where, you know, my head lies when it comes to legislation.
Do you, and by the way, I actually value that. I recognize that, and I appreciate that. And getting the president here and the attention it would bring us, among other things, yeah, of course. I mean, I would love to see a picture of, as much as I'm opposed to the name change, a picture of the president thumbs-upping in front of the sailfish sign. I mean, that's invaluable PR, man. I'll take that. Hey, is this going to pass the Senate? My read is it's not going to pass the Senate.
You know, who knows? Look, there was a number of House members that really did not want to vote for this. I get it. Some people question, is this the best use of our time in the chamber? Here's a reality that happens in Washington, D.C., and it happens in Tallahassee. Sometimes you've got to keep people busy because there's still work taking place. So we are just grinding behind the scenes on this reconciliation bill.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, just grinding. And because not everybody's sitting on a particular committee of subject matter that is dealing with the bigger numbers on it. So you've got to keep these guys active, busy. And when you get in the chamber for a vote, that's where you get a lot of work done. So even though that vote took place, there was a lot of visiting, exchanging, updates that are taking place, because this is the one place we actually get to be all in the same room with each other.
We're looking at one of the big things that you guys are all working on is the tax plan. President Trump is he's been a little bit all over the board on this, including he has now at least hinted that he's open to anybody making $2.5 million or more to revert to the pre-2017 tax rate of about 40% from the current 37. We're talking about that as a way of paying off and not having to, finding a way to keep Medicaid at current levels. The state and local tax exemption is one that I hate that exemption, because it means that people who live in big, expensive liberal states like California and New York pay less federal tax because their local tax is so high. And I think your local tax being high shouldn't get you out of paying federal taxes. We all have to pay that.
I agree. So, this is one of the problems we've got with as tight of margins as we've got now, as opposed to when the original Trump tax cuts passed.
Yeah.
We've got Republicans in New York who, they get dug in. They won't vote yes, unless, they get a salt package that they agree to. So, this is unfortunate. This is some of the negotiating horse trading takes place. As with what the president floated regarding the tax rate, look, I think the president uses Truth and X as a way to do a public forum. I'll just post and see what people say. I don't see the Congress having an appetite for changing those rates, but I do think the president learns by throwing out there. He's got the biggest microphone, arguably, in the world. So let's just throw it out there and let's go fishing and see what type of response I get. Let's see what I catch.
The left is, and I think you're right about that, by the way. I agree with you about that. The left is talking about this involving, big cuts to, entitlement programs, Medicaid in particular. I'm concerned about the child tax credit, even though we're kind of getting to where we can't claim it anymore for our kids. I think that's so useful to younger families who have kids and are usually struggling to get their life kind of going professionally. Are Medicaid cuts coming, and is the child tax credit still going to be kept? I always admire Marco Rubio for his advocacy on that issue, but you tell me, you're closer to it than I am for sure.
Yeah, I think the tax credit stays in play simply because it's something that brings. It's a good issue that brings everybody to the table. So the tax, even though the Dems as dysfunctional and broken as they are right now as leading. They at least know anything a Republican proposes is something they're going to vote no on. But when you put things out there like the tax credit, right now you're voting against policy that benefits all Americans. So when it comes to adjustments to Medicaid, you're going to see more than likely you'll see a work requirement in there for able-bodied men. You know what? If you're 25 years old sitting on the couch playing Xbox, when you get out there, be out there having a job that provides you health insurance, we're going to start, ensuring that there's a work requirement. And that's pretty much universally, even the Dems like that language. So, we're going to start forcing people to get off the couch. And if they can get a job where their health insurance can be provided, their health can be provided by a private solution, that's going to be the pathway you're going to be forced to take. We're just going to tighten our belt and make sure the Medicaid system that we have today is sustainable.
So not cuts per se, but regulations that will wind up in a reduction of spending because the regulations make sense and they currently don't. That makes more sense to me. I appreciate that.
Yeah. When it comes to what somebody's going to argue, the Democrats will probably cry foul, but where you have big blue states that have become sanctuary states, and they're providing Medicaid to illegals. You probably will see an adjustment when it comes to those, that if you're going to continue doing this path of providing health care to illegals, here's the big thing that people, as the scare tactics that the left likes to do, right now, anybody and everybody who has an incident, accident, needs treatment, can walk into any hospital, whether it be Ascension or Baptist or HCA, you name it, they can walk in right now and get treatment, and they have to get treatment. You know why? Because it was a part of the budget that always made sure that their their charity care was always compensated for.
Right.
So, I mean, so they can squall that we're cutting them, but what we're going to do is if you're going to take that much higher reimbursement rate, and I'm getting in the weeds, then we're going to adjust your adjustment rates to make sure that those states that are playing by the book, you know, have more of a sustainable. We're going to focus on women. We're going to focus on children. We're going to focus on seniors. We're going to focus on the disabled. That's where, to me, the true mission of Medicaid really lies.
You know, I always, whenever I was talking economics in my my ethics classes, I always taught my students that there are basically four kinds of people in the world. There's the wills, the won'ts, the mights, and the can'ts. You know, the people who will work no matter what, the people who won't work no matter what, the people who might work depending on the incentives, and the people who can't. And Medicaid's for the can'ts, you know?
It really is.
One of the other things I wanted to ask you about, because to me it's a big deal, and it kind of went under the radar. In fact, I was surprised. I stumbled across. My wife actually told me about this, and then I went back and looked. Oh, that was an executive order that the president issued. We are going to move off of physical checks to and from the government in September. That means tax payments. That means Social Security payments. That means anything you do with the government will no longer be through the mail in a, you know, a physical check. I know for me, like, I do not love the government having my bank account, even if all it is to, you know, deposit money, but to send them money. I'm uncomfortable about it. And I know it's for fraud defense and some other things, but this is a very interesting, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be surprised by this and are not going to be super happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit before the show. I said, man, my 90-year-old mother, she only knows how to pay things by writing a check.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely going to be a generational challenge where they're going to need to have to go to Publix and do an electronic transfer or, you know, but what you will see, you also see the market come to meet those consumers in a way where they can dumb it down. You'll see the financial institutions, our banks will be more aggressive about accommodating, because every time that a financial institution can get a customer to come in the door is an opportunity for them to sell a new service. So, you know, I think you will see technology come to that customer that is challenged. And the other thing you have is you're going to have those that pay significant amount in taxes. They like having, you know, that 4 to 7 day float on a check being in the mail, especially when interest rates are where they're at right now. It'll be bumpy, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I totally understand the idea about the mail loses things. The mail is slow. The physical cost of processing the checks. I mean, I think back to the examples,
100%.
You know, of the mine shaft of the employment records. You know, like like all of that stuff. It's, you know, I think we're probably going to save a lot of money doing it this way. It just makes me feel nervous because either I'm old or, you know, whatever. I know people do everything on their phones these days and they don't think about it the same way I do. I did want to briefly give you an opportunity to talk about something that your office has put an alert on, is home deed fraud protection and prevention. Now, I know your background is a CFO here in Florida, but you're taking that to the Congress as well. It's scary stuff to think about people, you know, identity thieving basically by doing stuff to your home deed, right? To your home ownership.
Yes, I mean, and I still, I told the team the other day, I said, look, I can't turn off my consumer protection hat off. I've been doing it for the last 8 years. This is real. And it plays in the title insurance space also. But like right now, my wife and I are under contract to buy a place in the district. Everything we've done has been totally electronically via email. Everything we've signed, total electronically with email. I have not sat and talked to anyone face to face. And I'm about to purchase a property in the district.
Wow!
So that's a lot of trust. And so then, how do we have checks and balances to ensure that ultimately somebody's home is not being sold from under them?
Right.
So this is why we just like to create those alerts, you know. And look, some of these credit monitoring systems, they're not a must have. But here's something I tell people. You know, the credit rating agencies, we give them a lot of a leeway, but they have to provide you a credit report, a detailed one, every single year at no cost to you. It is worth, if you haven't done it, go to Experian, go to one of those guys, and sign up and get your credit report. And know it, don't sign up for any extra services. You don't have to. But get your credit report and just look at it. Look at what's been going on, and there will be surprising events that are on your credit report that you didn't even know about. And sometimes it's just because somebody has the exact same name you've got or a similar name, but you can see where your credit was accessed. And then you get to see where some of the vulnerabilities are.
You know what I wonder? Seeing this release from your office made me think about, I wonder if there's an opportunity for, I don't know, I was thinking about some kind of a federal database, the way we do for criminal background checks, or maybe like a two-factor authentication for, you know, any real estate transaction where they, you know, your phone is attached to your deed and they just, I mean, it seemed like there's an opportunity for something that would enhance the security of these things. I mean, I hate two-factor authentication,
yes,
but I'd be glad to put it on my house deed. You know what I mean?
So when you go and you access your online credit, there's a feature on there. And I'm so glad you brought this up. There's a feature on there where you can freeze your credit. And what that simply means is whenever somebody wants to access your credit, then you get a phone call and you must say, yes, I will authorize my credit being accessed for review. So that feature, it's a free cost. We actually, when I was in CFO, the state of Florida used to allow the credit agency to charge you $10 for that. And we got rid of that fee altogether. We said, no, if someone wants to freeze their credit, you're not going to charge them to freeze their credit. So anyway, but you can go onto those credit websites, you know, you can freeze your credit, you put your information there, and they will contact you anytime somebody's trying to access your information. So it's actually a great safeguard. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Is there any way to shape that so that it could be limited to real estate only freeze? You know, that because it seems like such a specific problem with such a huge consequence if it goes awry.
Well, and again, I don't know the types of guardrails you can put in off the top of my head.
Sure,
but
sure.
I'm sure you can put a dollar threshold, which would trigger that type of transaction. But you also have there's products out there that will guard your title. That'll do the exact same thing. If your title is being accessed, you will get notification. You know, I think some of this stuff is a way to you can overkill with belts and suspenders.
Agreed.
But if you've been a victim, then if you've been a victim, then there's probably no price that is too much for you to ensure it never happens again.
Yeah, exactly. The as you say, the cost is so high. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman for District 1, sir, again, thank you so much for the time. It's really good having these conversations with you, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, take care. Thank you all.
Absolutely. And by the way, this whole state and local tax thing is, I mean, it really, he's exactly right. It's the Republicans in New York who are defending their constituents' right to deduct their local and state taxes from their federal income in order to pay less federal income or less than their appropriate share. If they lived in Florida, they'd be paying higher federal taxes. And the New Yorkers are defending that, which is keeping this deal from getting done. That's still one of the outstanding, not good, but look, standing out, still remaining issues to be solved on the tax policy.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area. From lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties, Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
Tune in today at 10 to the Pensacola Expert Panel when guests Shelley Ragsdale, Corey Booth, and JT Young from Florida Power & Light will be on the show talking about everything you need to know that's happening this spring and summer. Learn about spring savings tips, prepping for warm temperatures, and programs to help you save by managing energy consumption and more. Today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Mouth to mouth, wherever you are.
look, once a decade, we play Radiohead.
I just kind of felt like I was on some psychedelic trip or something. I was like,
that's it. That's it. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, day one of the Sean Diddy Combs trial brought some graphic testimony. Prosecutors were presented with the 2016 hotel surveillance video of Combs beating his ex-girlfriend, Cassandra Ventura. Apparently, a male stripper also took the stand and testified that he was paid to have sex with Ventura as Combs watched. Some bad news for us, Andrew. A lack of sleep is being linked to serious heart problems.
Knew it.
Yeah, a new study out found that short-term sleep deprivation triggers proteins linked to heart disease, even after just 3 nights, they say. And it also...
What about 11 years? What about multiple decades?
You're lucky it's still beating.
He's a modern medical miracle. How is he still working?
And they say that it even makes exercise less effective in triggering the positive proteins.
Well, that's why I don't do exercise.
Well, see, you're ahead of the curve.
Yeah,
then.
I mean, I realize that I can't get rid of the sleep deprivation, and it obviously makes it pointless to do exercise, so just don't exercise.
Oh, solid logic.
Confirming everything I do on a regular basis to maintain the optimal health and physique that is Andrew McKay. Listen on.